It is official. So the chapter starts off with God speaking to Moses and telling him, all right, one more plague, and then Pharaoh will let you go, and not just let you go, he will drive you out of here completely.
Yes.
What do you think God meant by drive you out of here completely?
He'll want to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll make them leave.
Yeah. What else? Drive you out of from here completely. Turn your video off, Linda. We can't hear you at all.
Uh-oh.
It's all garbly.
Okay.
Yep, that's better.
What did you say, Linda?
Oh, I said it mean take everything, leave, and never look back. That's what it
Huh.
sounds like.
Yeah, completely. All of you and everything of yours gone. All of
They've
it.
had enough of the curses.
Yeah. And so God then tells Moses to go tell the people that all the Israelites are to ask from their neighbors, and that's all it says. It doesn't say the Egyptians, it just says neighbors. Ask from your neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. And hopefully everyone read through and you know where that's going.
Sacrifice,
Yeah. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Verse 3, furthermore, the man Moses, and this is, I never noticed this until last week. Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Now let's just think about who Moses is and what Moses has been doing, or God's been doing through Moses for the last potentially few years. Who is Moses to the Egyptians?
He's a Hebrew, isn't he?
He's a Hebrew, and who
At
else?
this point, yeah. But I
Yeah.
mean, he'd been related through, well, not related, but he was admired as a leader.
He had been raised by the princes and was actually.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he was, but who has he been to the Egyptians?
Well, the
they're
gods, like a prince.
Yeah, but who's he been recently to the Egyptians?
God's
Like their
spokesman
leader, he's like their spokesman.
to the Egyptians.
Yeah, God's spokesman for the Hebrews, but what else has Moses been doing? Or at least what would they see Moses as?
A leader.
Yeah, and what's Moses been leading the Israelites in doing?
Trying to leave Egypt.
Yes, and how has Moses been trying to leave Egypt?
Through negotiating with the Pharaoh.
Negotiating
What
with
God
Pharaoh?
telling?
Is that what
Well,
he's
I
been
mean,
doing? Negotiating?
that's what
No,
he's
he.
trying to do. I mean, he's asking the Pharaoh to let his people go.
Uh-huh.
And the Pharaoh won't do it.
And
And every
because
time the Pharaoh won't do it, there's a curse.
he like the
curse?
mouthpiece for God.
Yeah.
A curse? Is that a
Well, I mean,
strong enough word?
well, I'm trying to think of a better word.
Well, you're on the right track though, Russ. This Moses is the one who's brought these nine plagues onto the Egyptians. And yet it says the Lord gave the people favor, or grace is another word for that, in the sight of the Egyptians. Furthermore, the man Moses was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. When
Well,
Moses goes to Pharaoh, who is right there with Pharaoh?
let me see.
is there with him.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well, Aaron's with him.
Aaron.
Yeah.
Who, Aaron?
That's who's with Moses, but who's with Pharaoh?
Oh.
Yeah. Who's with Pharaoh?
Well,
Satan?
Whatever her name was.
Satan. I like that one.
I was going to say.
No. The servants of Pharaoh are with him.
Of course, yeah.
Remember back in chapter 10? How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not realize that Egypt is destroyed? Who said that?
They're his servant, those
Pharaoh's servants.
Yeah.
And yeah. Where is somewhere in there? I've been trying to find it. I had to do this on my phone earlier, so I'm not seeing things in the right, same place. Somewhere in chapter 10, someone help me find it. There was something with the Pharaoh's servants besides that.
Well, anyway, the
point is that Pharaoh's, chapter 9, verse 30. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord your God. So, these servants, they've been right there with Pharaoh, and Moses was held in high esteem by them.
Mm-hmm.
And of the people. Well, who's been suffering right along with Pharaoh and the servants of these plagues?
The people,
Yeah, the people of Egypt. And yet, yeah. Moses is highly esteemed. Now, earlier, when everyone was trying to say who Moses was to the Egyptians when he was young, that could have something to do with why Moses is highly esteemed now.
Right.
Maybe the people really liked Moses when they thought he was a fellow Egyptian. Maybe, and this is, we don't know this, but maybe Moses was heir to the throne. Or a potential heir to the throne.
Right.
Or just one of the counselors to Pharaoh. We just don't know. There's several things Moses could have been to the Egyptians when he was young. For whatever reason, even with all the plagues, even with all things going on, Moses is in high esteem of the people and the Pharaoh's servants. And so God tells Moses to tell the Israelites, go ask the Egyptians for their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And God gave the Egyptians, God gave the Israelites favor or grace in the eyes of the Egyptians. Right. And the Egyptians gave them their stuff. just here, take our stuff. Yeah, sure. Like, and not like, oh yeah, please. Like, you know, gun to their head. It's like, oh, you want some stuff? Yeah, sure. Here, take some stuff.
My Bible says, the Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people.
Yeah.
And Moses himself. So God had something to do with that.
Yes, he did. And remember that in a few weeks. So now verse 4 through... before we get to verse 4 through 8, let's remember that at the end of chapter 10, Pharaoh said to Moses, don't ever come before me again or I'll have you killed.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses says, yep, you'll never see my face again. Let's read carefully verses 4 through 8. Someone please. Chapter 11, 4 through 8, yes.
Go ahead. Linda, were you reading it?
Yeah, can you hear me good?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, and the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he let you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask for his neighbor from his neighbor, and every woman.
Linda.
Okay.
Just verses 4-8.
Four. Okay. Yeah. Then Moses said, thus say the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die.
Now pause real quick. Pause real quick.
Okay.
Who is speaking now?
Moses said it.
Moses is speaking. Okay. Continue reading, please, Linda.
Oh, okay. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sit on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servants who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there should be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and the Israel.
Pause.
Okay.
Who is speaking again?
Still Moses, wasn't it?
Moses, right. Okay. Now read verse 8.
And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, and all the people who follow you. After that, I will go out. Then he who went out from Pharaoh is great anger.
Okay. Moses is speaking. Who's he speaking to?
Pharaoh.
Yeah, to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh just told Moses, you will not ever see my face again or you will die.
Oh, yeah.
But here is Moses speaking to Pharaoh. And apparently, all this Moses is saying, he is saying with some sort of, let's use the word zeal. Because he went out from Pharaoh, the New American Standard says, in hot anger.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened that, number one, Pharaoh let Moses back into his presence without killing him. And number two, Moses is angry. Now, and Moses is angry and he leaves, and Pharaoh just lets him leave. Now, what are some reasons how we could say, you know, Pharaoh said in chapter 9, you'll never see my face again or you'll die. But chapter 11, almost right away, or at least in the text, here is Moses talking to Pharaoh again.
In his presence. Pharaoh was a little nervous.
Yeah, could have been. What's another possibility of how that could be?
Like I do sometimes. I get angry and I say things I shouldn't.
Or say things maybe you don't really mean.
Right, you don't really mean.
Right.
That was my term, really.
So the end of chapter 10, Pharaoh's, you'll be dead if I ever see you again. He could have just said that out of spite, anger, frustration, whatever, having never any intention to kill Moses. Maybe because Pharaoh knows Moses is highly esteemed among his servants and the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way a king has to get his people and his servants to turn against him?
Somebody that they hold in high regard.
Yep. It sure is. Which also helps to explain, aside from God just not letting it happen, also helps to explain why Pharaoh didn't kill Moses months or years ago. Like, I would think, oh, you turned the sea to blood? Okay. Oh, my servants can't do it? Oh, okay. We'll just kill him then. Just take Moses
and kill
him.
He didn't want to look weak. He didn't want to look weak in front of his servants and his people.
Well, killing Moses put an end to that real quick.
It's like Mike Youngblood says, God had a plan.
Yep.
And he's following through the plan.
And the fact that chapter 11 says that about Moses, how he was highly esteemed, we've talked about the possibility that this could go back to when Moses was a young man still in Egypt.
Sure.
We don't know exactly how long that's been going on. It's hard to believe that that happened during the plagues. Oh, you're the one causing all this torment and destruction? Oh, we love you. that probably goes back to before, which also, you know, some people, when they look at Moses when he's a young man, they think he was prideful. Well, what's the best way to turn someone prideful? Hello, is this thing on?
Yeah, I saw Randy come up, but I thought he was saying something.
Nope. What's the best way to turn somebody else prideful? What was that, Susan?
I'm not sure. Call me silly, but dumb. I don't know what you mean by prideful. What do you mean?
What?
What do you mean by prideful?
Priceless or price?
Oh, prideful. Full of pride.
Prideful. Okay, yeah. That makes more sense than what I thought you said.
Okay. Yeah. What's the best way to turn somebody prideful?
Be weak and give in.
Nope.
Give them everything they want and build them up and say that they're great.
Yep.
Yep.
And if Moses, as a young man, was prideful, that could be partly why he did what he did. And then the guy saying, who made you a judge over us? Because I don't remember if we talked about this. Because you know, it's been like 3 years ago since we talked about chapter 2. One of the ideas that some people have is that Moses thought in chapter 2, when he killed that Egyptian, he already thought he was the one who's going to deliver the Israelites from slavery. So he was already built up. And so if he's, you know, favored in Pharaoh's house, and highly esteemed among Pharaoh's servants, and highly esteemed among the people, you know, that's going to, yeah, I'm the man. But one of the theories about Moses is God needed him humbled, so he spent 40 years humbling him.
Mm.
Now, that's a pretty good theory. There's a little bit of evidence for that in the Bible, but it's, you know, it's just a theory. But we think about, here we are 40 years later, or 42 years later, or 45 years, we don't know how long the plague's been going on. And so let's just say Moses was highly esteemed among the Pharaoh's servants and the Egyptians when he left, and then he comes back 40 years later. Would people have forgotten their love for him when he came back?
No.
No.
Now, the plagues, I would think, you know, a couple of years of these plagues, I would think that would do something to Moses' reputation among the Egyptians, but apparently it didn't.
Hey, Daniel.
Yes, Randy.
A couple other trains of thought here.
Yes, please. There's a bunch.
Yeah, I know. One is, you know, as we've kind of talked about, we don't know the time period between these plagues.
Yep.
So, man, one thing man does really good at, they forget the past.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I've thought, let's see, how can I say this? I thought before that, do you think all the Egyptians knew that Moses had, you know, been God's spokesman, the one to bring about these plagues?
Right.
And I say that is because if you look at, if you kind of consider Pharaoh, would Pharaoh of wanted to contribute all the calamity that was coming their way to a God that he is not a part of?
Right.
Would he have put that out into the public that Moses and his God were the ones, or one, I'm just putting in the terms that Pharaoh would put it, that they were the ones, Moses and his God were the ones that had all this power? Would Pharaoh want the people to know that, or
right,
would that be kind of hidden and know that? So therefore Moses could have that high esteem amongst the people because they didn't know that he was, you know, the one, you know, speaking for God and bringing this about.
That's a good point. And that's extremely possible. There's also another possibility that goes along with that. Who are we typically blaming right now for the economy being what it is?
Biden.
Right.
The president, the leader.
Is it really Biden, the man, as the president, doing the things that's making it's the economy the way it is?
It's his
administration.
Well, no, it's honestly, it's really not even his administration. There's just things that are going on that are just leading it. He just has to be the one in charge, like Carter. Yes. Carter didn't cause the gas crisis. That wasn't Carter's fault. Biden didn't cause COVID. That happened under Trump.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that's happening now, I'm not saying Trump caused these things either. I'm just saying what's happening now are the result of a very fairly long process that if you trace it back far enough, you'll see this going back into the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s.
Yeah, different
like
time.
Reagan. No. Yeah.
So let's look at it this way. From a layperson standpoint, here you have this guy having all of this power, who is clearly more powerful than your guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the more powerful guy is wanting your guy to do something, and he is saying no. And the more powerful guy is bringing all the calamity on you. Why? Because your guy is not doing what this guy wants him to do. Right. So who are the people going to blame in that? Are they going to blame Moses? Or are they going to blame Pharaoh? They're going to blame Pharaoh. And by the way, let's not forget, especially Pharaoh's servants, they're there in the room most of the time, if not every time. Right. Moses is there.
Yeah,
and they're seeing, they're hearing the interactions. They know what's up. They even expressed it in chapter 10. Just let them go. Just let them go, dude.
Yeah.
But Pharaoh's, no, I will not let them go. No. So to Randy's point, would Pharaoh want that information getting out that he's the one causing all of this?
Of course not. He would,
but his servants are probably going to talk behind Pharaoh's back.
Yeah.
Right. Especially if potentially Moses is already, Moses, hey, we remember you from 40 years ago when you were just a kid and blah, 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 blah. And wait, what are you going to do? Wait, the Nile's turned to blood? Wait, what? Pharaoh, I'm not letting them go. No, but Pharaoh, this is Moses. Yeah, I know this is Moses. I'm not doing what he said, but he's turned the blood, the Nile to blood. Yeah, well, watch this. Hey, guys, turn the Nile to blood. Oh, well, I mean, okay, but I mean, Moses, no. And that just keeps going on and on and on. Potentially, not saying that is what's happening, but all of these things could be at play, and more things that we haven't talked about yet. And if someone has a thought on that, please share, because there's a bunch of what we would call political things that could be all involved here, or at least partially involved. Not just Pharaoh's servants, because remember, Pharaoh's servants. Okay, there's Pharaoh, then there's the servants, but there's other people in the room too.
Right.
There's the cupbearers. There's the scribes. There's all the servants of Pharaoh. They're going to be rich guys too. They each have their own cupbearers, their own entourage.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people potentially around in at least many of these interactions, and so there's a lot that could be playing into this. Oh.
Right.
Not including God making these things happen, which we've seen at various times throughout the chapter. Okay. See, it's, I love this. All right. Anyone else in verses 1-8? Okay. So verse 9 and 10, the Lord says to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Still, I wonder if Moses and Aaron performed all these. Okay. Verse 10 is a summary. Yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Okay. So that's chapter 11. So now we can start getting into chapter 12. Does anyone have anything they want to say before we get into chapter 12 or ask?
I would like to ask again, what did Randy say exactly about prideful? Give everything to them they want and what?
Go ahead, Randy.
And build them up and edify them. If you keep kind of praising a person and saying that they're great and they're, you know, they kind of hung the moon or whatever, then that's going to go to their heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind with your preachers.
Yeah. Keep that in mind. So I guess we need to tear each other down so that we'd be better.
Not saying that. I'm just, you know, balance. That's all I'm saying.
Has anybody told you you're a great preacher yet?
Unfortunately, yeah, they have.
Oh.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. But I can say this. God is keeping me humble, even if you people aren't.
but also, pride is a choice.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. We praise one another like we should. If I become prideful, that's a choice I make. It's not, you know, we should be encouraging one another and building each other up. We let that get to our heads. That's a choice that we make.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
I mean, you know, I say things like, you know, it's my oldest granddaughter's birthday today. Oh. And, you know, I sent her a little happy birthday and said, you know, I'm so proud of the woman she's becoming. Even though I wish she would become a Christian woman, but I'm still proud of the things that she's accomplished in the study that she went into and how she's helping disabled children. And so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, and good. Go ahead, Randy.
I just say that's good, you know.
And some people, I was just telling somebody this, was it yesterday? Christians are typically at one of two extremes. They're either too high on themselves and thinking higher of themselves than they ought to think, or they're too low on themselves, not thinking high enough of themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, especially if someone has had a rough go of it in sin, meaning they've done some, what in their mind is really bad things, they could use a lot more encouragement, and that person will probably never be prideful. It's all that balance thing and It's all having some balance in our character and recognizing what each other needs. And we're never told to tear each other down, but we are told to think of ourselves the way we ought to think, and to consider ourselves servants of one another, humble ourselves, kind of like Ephesians, wives submit your husbands, not husbands make your wives submit, wives submit. We're to submit. Mm-hmm. We're told to submit to one another. And as part of that, we're told to build one another up.
Talk about being humble. Christ washing the feet of the apostles.
Yep.
Yeah, 1992 years ago.
Yes. Last night. Yeah, that's what you told me last night.
Yeah.
You're funny, Randy.
It just reminded me of that. In fact, I'm reading Jesus last week just because, you know, this is the time of the year that our society celebrates that, but it's still good.
Yeah. We are anywhere between 6 to 10 years from the exact anniversary of that. Maybe even 12 years, depending on the actual time. So let's see. If this is 22, so if he's born in, let's say, 6, so he'd be preaching right about now. If he'd be just about be starting preaching.
Yeah, and if you believe that he was maybe crucified in about 30, so that would be 8 years from now, it would be 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought he was 33.
Luke says when he begins preaching that it was supposed it was he was about 30. Luke doesn't actually say how old he is. Luke gives an estimate, and even that estimate is based on an estimate. He was, as it was supposed, about 30 is kind of what he says.
Pardon me for interrupting, but didn't he preach for about 3.5 years? So he was 33 and 34 when he was crucified.
That's the traditional time frame that people have figured out. Yes.
But Bill, I don't know if you've gotten into, it's pretty commonly believed that mankind, that they messed up on the numbering, and that Jesus was probably born according to our numbers anywhere from 3 to 5 year BC.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's pretty commonly believed that he was not born in zero. He was born prior to that. So if he was born 3 BC, that means he would have been crucified in 30 AD.
Okay.
Yeah, but even that is based on historians' traditional year that Herod the Great died, which is 4 BC. Well, we don't know when this massacre of innocents happened in Matthew chapter 2. It happened before Herod died. And Herod declared every male child 2 years old and younger to be killed. So Jesus could have been as old as 2 when Pharaoh gave that decree. But again, we don't know how long Pharaoh lived after that. So Jesus potentially could have been born as late as 8 or 9, maybe even 10 BC. I think 6 is probably 7, a little more reasonable, because it seems hard to believe that Herod would have lived much longer after ordering all those children to be killed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we just don't know. So let's just say 5 BC. No, because he died in 4. Let's say 7 BC. So 7 plus minus 7 is 0. Now we're at 0 BC. So how old would Jesus, what year would Jesus be 30 from being 7 in 0? So we had 23 years to that. So it's 23 AD. He's 30. Right. So if we add 3 years onto that, we're at 26 AD of the crucifixion.
Okay.
That's based on Jesus being born in 7 BC. Could have been born in 6. We might even have the year Herod died wrong. He could have died in 3 or 2 or 0. It's all based on that one timestamp. So if something comes up and that timestamp changes, then the whole genealogy of Jesus changes. But if it is 7, then we're about at the 2,000 year anniversary of Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist.
Wow.
Right? So, I mean, but we don't know. And I think that's the genius of God, is being so vague, not letting that information be known for certain. Because if it's known for certain, what happens?
Then we're those days which we're not supposed to elevate.
Exactly. Just like people have already venerated the places where they think Jesus was crucified, buried, ascended, walked.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So and which also explains why John says Jesus himself never baptized anybody. Imagine walking around, oh yeah, I was baptized by Jesus the man. Right. People are already, oh yeah, I was baptized by the Paul. Oh no, well, I was baptized by the Peter. Imagine if you were baptized by the Messiah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
That was a nice rabbit trail. Oh, also, you even think about, you know, the patriarchal age lasted, you know, give or take, or about 2,000 years, and the Mosaical age lasted about 2,000 years. So now the Christian is about 2,000 years old. So that means Jesus is coming pretty quick.
Then there's that. Then there's that. 1,000 years ago, Christians were losing their minds. It's been 1,000 years. The millennial reign is over. And here it's been another 1,000 years. You know, when 2000 came, people were all the market, everything, you know, there was more about 2000 and 2001 than just people thought the computers were going to crash and the planes would fall from the sky. Christians thought Jesus was coming.
Yeah, everything was going to fall.
Yeah. So I'm actually a little surprised. I haven't heard from anybody else, especially in the denominational world. We're coming up on the 2000 year anniversary. We're coming up with 2000 years. I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah.
And I'm a little surprised, but it's just a matter of time. Probably because we're still 8 years away from 30, but I don't know. So, anybody else on that? That was fun. Thanks, Bill. And Randy and everybody else for your input. Thank you. Anybody else?
No.
Okay, then. Speaking of the sacrificial lamb, chapter 12. We have this familiar pattern that starts the chapter. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron. It's not just Moses, Moses and Aaron. That link of those two is extremely vital. And we don't talk about Aaron a lot as being the shadow of Jesus. But the fact that Aaron is a part of this and Moses, you know, we look at Deuteronomy 18, and I'll raise up a prophet like you from among your people. Well, God raised up a new priesthood, and Aaron is the shadow of that, along with Melchizedek. So it's, you know, the lawgiver and the law enforcer. Is that the right word for Aaron? Is he the enforcer of the law, or is he the main practitioner? I don't know how you'd put that, but I mean, that's Jesus fulfilled both those things. So anyway, beginning of months. Oh, I meant to have it's actually. Do we dare use the word coincidence that we're studying this in the week of the anniversary of it? You know, if this is even the right week, right? We could be a whole month off.
Right.
Because of the leap years. If someone wants to do some research on that, when was Easter or when was the Passover in the year? You'd have to figure out 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30.
Oh, I don't do math.
It's not, it technically wouldn't be that hard to do. It would just take some time. I'm not going to do it. It'd be cool, but we are in the month. Then I try to figure out, you know, when this would have been, you know, 1446, 1445, 1447, 1444. Right now you're going back 3,500 years trying to figure out when this is. So let's just say we're in the week anniversary of 3,500 years ago, give or take a month.
Of the first Passover?
Yeah, of the first Passover. So let's see. If today's Passover, what day? So Sabbath is this coming Saturday. I don't know. Well, yeah, it's not important. So the 10th of the month. So somewhere around, actually, probably today, because today's Thursday. So it'd been a couple days ago, because they have to hold it for 4 days, right? Or is it 3 days? 10th this month. So yeah, it's I never saw that before.
What?
Okay. So they take the Passover lamb on the 10th day of the month. Okay. Math, 10 days. Okay. Unblemished male, verse 6, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. Now, as we understand days, how many days is that?
24.
No. From the 10th to the 14th day.
Oh, okay.
4 days.
4 days.
4 days.
But you shall take it on the 10th day and on the fourth day you shall sacrifice it. Okay. How many days was Jesus in the tomb, in the grave?
Three.
On the fourth day, he was fully alive, right?
Right. Yep.
So this lamb, I know the math isn't exactly right, but there's some sort of mathematical, I'm sure if Tim was on, he would figure out, but there's also calendar things. There's probably some sort of link between the days the Passover lamb was taken and the day the Passover lamb was sacrificed that is relevant to the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
And or his, oh.
Well, it goes back. So this is fascinating. I didn't prepare for this, but maybe we ought to do this for next week. So as I remember studying this, the Passover lamb was chosen on the 10th day. Mm-hmm. I believe that was on what we call Palm Sunday when Jesus came into Jerusalem.
That's what I was wondering.
That's exactly right, where he was chosen on that day.
Yeah.
Later was his crucifixion when they were sacrificed. This mimics exactly what Christ went through on his last week.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. That's the type and the antitype, but it matches that. Maybe we ought to lay that out next week, because that is fascinating. That's one of the reasons why I believe that he was crucified on Thursday and not on Friday. So that all coincides with the time frame as we have right here of what they were to do with that lamb and how they were to choose it and when they were to sacrifice it.
So you said the tenth day they were to sacrifice it, the 10th day they were holding it?
The 10th day they set it aside.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
On the 10th day.
And it doesn't say what they're to do with the lamb during those 4 days. No. It just says take it, like choose it, set it aside. You would think they would feed it. I don't know. There's nothing that I'm aware of in the Bible or in Jewish tradition of these 4 days that lamb is fattened or if it's or whatever. And I would think that some Jews would get to the point where they were choosing their lambs for Passover years in advance. But it doesn't really say what to do it, like maybe just isolate it from the rest of them. But that's a whole nother deal. Hey, Randy, do you want to prepare something for that for next week so we can talk about that?
Yeah, we can all kind of look into that, but I think it's a fascinating study to spell that out, what Jesus went through and how the Passover week mimics, what Jesus did in his life.
It sounds like you studied it before. So if I would be perfectly, I would love it if you would teach that.
Okay.
I think it'd be cool.
Now, I am going to ask about the whole Thursday, Friday thing. Sure. We talked about that, but yeah, I think that sounds great. I think it's going to be an awesome study, and maybe, well, I'll leave that to you, Randy, about how much we want to advertise that this coming Exodus study is going to be about that, to see if we can get more people involved in it. But,
I've suggested before, one of these years we need to do it. I think we need to have a gospel meeting during this week and go over Jesus last week, every night of the gospel.
Interesting.
I never heard that before.
Well, you haven't?
No.
Besides Wednesday, where there's not much talked about what he did on Wednesday, but, you could have a study every night and go over what Jesus did. And even on Friday, Saturday, go over, the coming.
That could be something we do with our own men.
We
and
could
not have a guy come out and do that.
Sure.
That's a great idea.
I mean, okay. There's a lot of material. People don't realize there's a lot that's written about Jesus' last week of his life. There's a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Maybe the Wednesday night when there's not much written about, someone can actually can teach on whether he actually came in on Sunday or came in on Monday. I'm stirring the pot on purpose.
So this was to happen, start on the 10th day of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what day that fell on, it was a 10th day.
Yep.
That day could have fallen on a Friday.
Yep.
You know, we always kind of think that that fell on Sunday, and we start counting that way, but that's not the case. It was different mm-hmm. single year.
Yeah.
So that's why I think the Friday that Jesus was in the grave was a special Sabbath. They had a Sabbath on Friday, a special Sabbath, because the Bible talks about that, and then Saturday was a real Sabbath.
Yeah, and that's valid math.
Yep.
Yep. So yeah, so that'll be fun next week. Well, we have 10 minutes left. And I don't, there's so much with the pastor lamb right here. Should we keep going and get to try to get to verse 13, or should we let it be until after this next study next Thursday and come back to it after that?
Maybe come back to it. We can put it on the.
Sorry, Linda, we didn't understand a word you said.
I don't know. Oh, sorry. I said maybe next week so we can put it all together to understand it. I don't know if you heard me, but.
Did anyone get what Linda said?
Yes.
Put it off next week. I didn't understand why.
Just so that it would all come together.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I think what we need to do with this passage is, you know, lay this out. I mean, everybody just kind of diagram this. Okay, on the 10th day, they were to do such and such. On the 14th day, at a certain period of time, I'll give you a little hint on twilight, you know, they were to do such and such, and kind of lay that out as to how they were directed on what they could do. And then it'll be easy to plug that in with the last week of Jesus' death, of his life. I mean,
where can I find this information, Randy?
It's right here. I mean, like, where's it in verse? Where is it? Somewhere.
You mean it's just in the Bible?
What's that?
It's just in the Bible then.
Well, I mean, just on the Passover week, like on it in. Oh. In verse number 3, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of the month, they're to each one take a lamb. So we can write that out. On the 10th day, they were to take a lamb. And then it doesn't say anything really until the 14th day. So the 14th day, they were to do such and such, you know, and kind of just, you know,
that.
What Passover week really looked like on a day-by-day basis.
Okay.
I just figured out how to figure out which year Jesus actually was crucified in.
How?
You have to figure out the Jewish religious calendar.
Yeah.
And then figure out what year we're in now according to the Jewish calendar. And then reverse engineer that back every year 2,000 years, or at least figure out a formula to do that, because there's the 12-year cycle. Hey, Linda, can you mute?
You're echoing.
I know. Yeah. I think it's Linda's thing. All right. Once you figure out the 12-year formula of, or it's a 13-year formula, actually, because there's 12 years, and it's either 11 years of the leap year or 12 years of leap year. Anyway, once you figure that out, then you just go back 13 cycles until you get to a year where the high Sabbath of the Passover was either on an actual Sabbath day or on the day before the Sabbath day. And in that year, you would have two Sabbaths back to back, with the regular Sabbath day and then the high Sabbath on the Friday. And it'd be one of those 2 years, because one of those 2 years, actually potentially 3 years, because you'd have the 1 year of the leap, you have the 1 year where it was the high Sabbath was, no, it had to be the year where the high Sabbath was before the actual Sabbath, or the following year where the high Sabbath was the regular Sabbath. It's one of those 2 years. That's the only way to figure it out.
Yeah, that's clear as mud. So you're going to do that between now and next week.
I was going to say.
It might take a couple of years.
You totally confused me this time.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Here's what I'll do. I won't figure it out. What I'll do is I'll have a thing that I can share to show how to figure it out. Okay. So it's visual. Honestly, to me, the hardest part is going to be figuring out, is it an 11-year cycle with a leap year, or is it a 12-year cycle with a leap year? And then figuring out what year we're in right now. That's the hardest in that cycle. That's going to be the hardest part for me. Because I'm not even convinced. I'm really not convinced the Jews really still know what their, if their religious calendar we're following now is still accurate. I'm not convinced of that. But they seem to claim they've got it figured out. I'm just, calendars have changed a lot. So I'm just not, I don't know. But I did figure out that there are two times a year where Jesus could have been born. I did figure that out. I figured out which two times of years it was. I just don't remember what it is right now.
Was it Christmas?
Nope.
No, spring, wasn't it?
Yeah, one's around springtime and one's around the fall.
I was making a joke.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so we stalled real nice. So we got a few minutes left. Anybody else have any questions or concerns or comments before we sign off? Okay, so I will just be the moderator. I'll just start the meeting, and Randy will be our primary teacher next week, and we'll all have various things that we can share. And so, Randy, you have fun, brother.
Well, it won't take that long, so I'd probably say it's just going to take maybe a half an hour to go through that. So
we'll pick up in
chapter 12.
Yeah, awesome.
Good enough.
Anybody else?
Oh, well, I guess I can do it. Oh, I forgot. I'm going to be in Mammoth next Thursday night, so I'll do it from Mammoth.
Oh, what are you going to Mammoth for?
I have a skiing convention down there next weekend.
Okay.
We could put it off for another week if you needed to.
No, I should be okay. I'll let you know by Sunday.
Okay. Well, if you're not able to do it next week, then we'll just study through chapter 12 next week, and we'll just do it the week after.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'll let you know. It depends if another guy's going with me or whatever. I'll let you know.
Okay. All righty. Well, Randy, you mind saying a prayer to close us off then?
All right, let's pray. Oh, divine God, we're just so thankful for this opportunity that we can get together here and study your word. We just realize and understand how awesome you are, and we just pray that we'd elevate you and that raise you up. We know that that's what our task is here on this earth. We just give you all the glory that, or try to give you the glory that we as humans can do. And we just know that you're so magnificent, and for all the things that you've done. We're just so thankful that you loved us enough to where you allowed Jesus to be sacrificed on the cross so that we can have that opportunity to come home with you and be with you throughout eternity. We just pray to your God, you'd help us to live our lives in such a way that we can have that reward at the end, and give us the fortitude and help us to understand what we're studying and to apply it to our lives and have the wisdom to fulfill it in our lives so that we can glorify you. We just pray, dear God, you continue to be with our congregation, watch over us, and help us to be an encouragement to one another, and help us to serve one another like you'd want us to. We're just so thankful for it, and we're thankful for all the members of our congregation. We just pray that you'd be with those who are weak at this time, that you'd use us so we can encourage them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you guys are really stepping up your prayer game. I tell you what, just the start of that took me to my knees, Randy. Oh, divine God. My goodness.
Yeah, so cool.
All right. Thanks for that.
Have a good night.
You too, everybody.
Good night.
Night.